realms of Senith.
We left off near the river fighting flying macro viruses or something. Some kind of weird abominations that look like they were once fairies.
And I got a jar of plague juice.
Yes, you picked up a charg of... A charg.
Charg.
I don't even know why that word came out of my face, but it did. Oh yeah, so Amir is making a new dress for a fae creature. That was his night planned out for him.
Sorry if I overreacted to that last session, by the way.
Overreacted to what?
When I was like, no, you can't have him and blah, 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 whatever.
I thought it was a legitimate reaction. He's like, no, you're not going to take, you know, a person from us.
Okay, cool. I thought I might have been like overreacting.
No, I didn't think that anyway.
No.
It's going to be another 4 days march across this bridge. You guys can see like a large grassland that's very hilly. Wagons are being filled up with the last bit that they can reliably get for the truck through there.
All right. We get a long rest then?
Yeah, you guys get a long rest. I don't know if you guys want to stay in those tents that you've set up or not, but those are still there for you.
Are all the visions and stuff out of them?
Yeah, except for the one that Amir is working on a robe for and gives it to her, and she does disappear.
Okay.
For the first day of travel, I'm going to want somebody to roll me a D100, please.
77.
Okay, 77. So you come across a village that's on the side, you know, not too far off from the road, but the soldiers send out like a small party to go investigate what's going on. They ask if you want to come along.
Sure, why not?
I'll come too.
No, if they're going, I can't be left behind, I guess.
You have like 4 guards with you. There's a couple more scouts that went slightly ahead. As you guys are looking around this abandoned village and they're peeking into the houses, trying to see if anybody is here. One of the houses that you go into, Erevan, has a hole in the bed, tar everywhere around it. Morad, you come across a well. When you look down into it, instead of water down there, it's that plague tar.
That's gross. So remind me, did we find out what a weakness of that stuff was?
The repair you found was doing some pretty serious damage.
Fire wasn't destroying it more than others or anything like that.
What you definitely noticed was that when you attack a creature with a repair, the tar that comes out of it is inert.
Okay, I'm going to go to one of the houses and test the theory again with the rapier. Like, just find a puddle of tar and cut it with the rapier.
You see like a pile of tar and you stick your blade into it and like poke at it with it or something?
Mm-hmm.
All the tar that comes into contact with the blade edges does seem to also die. Like, you can see it visibly changing colors on the blade's edges, and there isn't that much of an edge on a rapier. Like, just, you know what I mean, though.
Yep. Got you. I found the cure. We just have to stab everybody that's infected.
I think there should be an easier cure than that.
I mean, it would work, though.
But it though.
See? And I'll stab another thing at tar. See?
But you're stabbing the tar, not the actual creatures.
Well, we'll test it out. Let's go find some plague victims.
I
guess I could look at what this rapier is made of. Maybe there's something in the construction of the rapier. Or is it just because of the magic, do I think?
Go ahead and roll a knowledge arcana.
24.
You've already spent the night like inspecting this rapier to identify it.
Did I sit there all night and stroke it and call it my precious?
My cure, I guess, let's say.
My cure. We hate it, the plagues.
Right, anyway, continue.
This is like a really old, old blade. This is from, you would say, the time when like Arcfey ruled the area. So this was before there were normal mortals. This was one of their weapons.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, I'm going to try to like just touch the flat of the blade to the thing and see if that hears it. Or do I actually have to cut it?
It's far more effective at the tip.
I'll relay this information to my teammates.
Sounds like we got some people to stab.
No, I'm still conflicted.
So Diamond's not on board with the just kill every victim you can find?
Well, yeah.
Okay. We're
better off killing the victims than letting there be more victims.
Well, let's take it case by case, right?
There's got to be a better way to use the magic from the blade to do this.
We'll have to keep trying it out, I guess.
What if you stab them with the sword, right? And then I come in and I'd like use like healing words or something right behind that. Would that not kill them and just get rid of the plague?
You can try it. Let's try it on somebody we don't like first, though. I'm like, hey, you get a cure. Downside is you're going to have to get stabbed. upside is Diamond will heal you. Sign here.
All right. I guess we could find someone. I don't know who we don't like.
Well, Thomas the guard isn't here, but he's kind of a dick.
There's always Ootman.
Ootman?
Yeah, Ootman. I don't like him. And this is one of the guards that are kind of with you guys watching you.
Okay.
We could go get him and drop him in the well for a moment.
Just serve him a refreshing beverage.
I do have this jar of the stuff.
Here, drink this, you sissy. Don't smell it, just drink it. Let's keep researching your jar. And if any of the hostile stuff comes, we'll stab it.
Well, I mean, we could just use the well to get more, right? And after he drinks it, it's going to be empty. So we could just get more. Like, we need to keep this specific one, is it?
No, I mean, you don't have to keep it. I didn't know that you were really wanting to infect somebody, but yeah, let's do it. I'm down. Or we could wait till we come across somebody that's infected and then try some stuff. Because they're already pretty much dead if we don't cure it anyway.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And everybody's alignment shift a little closer to evil.
I'm already there, bro. I don't even know what alignment I chose, actually.
I'm not evil. I'm just chaotic good.
If we infect somebody and then do experiments on them, we might shift to evil.
Erevan has no opinion on the matter. He's chaotic neutral.
The guards finish their rounds in this village. They don't find anybody that has stayed around and is infected here. Morin, I think, said you were going to research that jar of plague or whatever, kind of look at it, play with it or something.
If I can do so safely, we need to figure out what else affects this thing so I don't have to stab everybody we come across.
Yeah, I'd like to study it too.
Hi. Sorry I'm late.
It's all right. Didn't know if you got the message that it was... you keep forgetting that you're central time.
Yeah, Exos actually called me and was like, don't you have a thing right now?
Oh, yeah. Whoops. So we investigated a village, and there was plague everywhere because we fought plague monsters last time.
Okay.
And the rapier that I found from whatever thing was in my tent, if I cut it, it cures it. So we were debating infecting one of our guards and trying to cure him, like experiment with him, and they thought against it. And now we're in the process of studying some of the plague stuff we saved from last time and try to figure out if we can cure it before we run into more of it. That's all you missed.
Witchroot Woods. So that's where we are.
Yeah, are we traveling back to like your home, Diamond, or where are we going?
My second home?
Is that where we're going, like where you're from?
Yeah.
Okay.
Diamond, you've actually been collecting flowers as you guys have been traveling, if I remember right.
Yeah.
You see that some of the flowers you've collected, Erevan has also went and grabbed and is trying different mixes of herbs. And at this point, he looks like an alchemist, just grinding down different plant roots and flower petals and stuff. You actually get some success with one of the flower petals.
Which one?
A felonwort is what it would be called. It's like a weed that grows in the grasslands. Oh, actually, Erevan wasn't even in his room.
God damn it, Erevan.
I can't talk when I'm not here.
So yeah, you solved the plague. Good job.
Awesome news. What's next on the agenda?
Mummies.
Can I put some of the flower petals for that particular flower in the jar and like see what it like does over time?
Yeah, for the next day of travel, though, I'll need another D100 roll.
58.
It does look like over time, it seems to work better.
Okay. What if we used the sword to cut up the flower petals?
And then try it. Sure.
Well, I mean, like, could they make each other more potent?
Sure. I'll try it.
All right. Yeah, you guys are able to get some more of the tar from little tar worms that you guys find burrowing through the ground in the morning. Earthworms that were infected by this tar and morphed into little creatures with teeth.
Not even earthworms are safe. So yeah, we'll start another experiment.
Okay, Morin, as you're out collecting some tar worms or whatever, you happen to notice furniture stand that's just being pulled down a hill.
By itself or by something?
There's something pulling it down the hill.
Something's carrying a wardrobe down the hill. I say to everybody.
What? Where? I look over.
You see that it's like a stand with three different perches on it, and each one of them has like a jar sitting on it. And this stand has a rope tied around to it, and the rope looks like it's connected to a cat. And the cat's just hauling this down the hill right now.
Like house cat or tabaxi?
Yeah, like a domesticated cat.
Okay.
That's a strong cat.
That's not normal. Here, kitty?
You try to coo to the cat and bring it to you?
Yeah, is that they call that? Coo? All right.
I don't know. That's what I called it.
All right. I will coo to the cat.
Starts running to you.
Running? Oh. And, does it look sick?
Yeah, like a full-on, huh?
Does it look sick?
No, it doesn't look sick.
Okay.
And it looks to you like the cat doesn't even care. Isn't just, you know, super strong for pulling this thing. There's like no effort to it.
No. Well, we're fucked.
But when it gets close enough to you, it like stops and meows at you a few times. And the stand, it's a wooden stand behind it. And you can see it now. It looks three jars just sitting on this thing.
What can I tell about the cat before I get too close?
I go up to the cat and go meow.
it like gets on its hind paws and tries to push its head into, you know, trying to get pets and stuff. Just looks like a normal cat.
Yes, kitty, kitty, I love the pets. Yes, I love you.
And it doesn't have, like, plague all over it, right?
No, you don't see any tar coming out of it or nothing.
You're now infected because your love of felines. All right, so that cat doesn't look like much of a threat, but it's strong as hell, right?
It seems to be, yeah.
Okay. Is it big?
To make sure you don't get punched by it.
It's no bigger than like a domesticated cat. It's not like abnormally large.
So how is it dragging? Is it tied to the stand?
It is tied like a harness or something that you'd put on an ox to pull a till.
Jesus.
It has one of those on this cat.
Well, I'm at a loss, guys. I have no idea what this is or why.
Can the cat communicate with us?
Actually, I have speech of the woods at level 2, right? Like my druid of my circle of the shaman, like at second level, you gain the ability to converse with beast and mini fae.
Circle of the shepherd. Let's see what. Yeah, second level.
Just says you learn to speak, read, and write Sylvian. In addition, beast can understand your speech. You gain the ability to decipher their noises and motions. Most beasts lack the intelligence to convey or understand sophisticated concepts, but a friendly beast could relay what it has seen or heard in the recent past. This ability doesn't grant you a special friendship with beast, though you can combine this ability with gifts to curry favor with them as you would any non-player character.
So if you have catnip, this cat will love you.
I asked the cat, what happened? How did this happen to you?
In perfect common. Well, I found this out in the woods. I'm not stealing it.
Okay. Do you remember where it came from?
No, not really.
So the cat's just sitting there talking, huh? And we all understand it?
Yeah.
What's in the jars?
What's in the jars?
You want to touch it?
You don't know what it is?
No, I know what it is. That's why I'm taking it. I mean, that's why I found it.
The answer is, do you want to touch it? Is always no.
Thanks for the offer, but I think I'm going to pass since I don't know what it is.
So where are you heading?
On its hind legs, it points off to the east with its paw. It's like, I'm going to cross the air for it here. I'm going to, I don't know, probably make my way towards Elkwood. Figure I'll turn south a bit once I get there. I heard there's some new houses being built. Now I'll probably go find a new family down there. And I'm bringing this to give to them. I mean, I found this. So nobody wants to touch this? Okay. Well, I got to go. I have, like, really far to go.
Really far to go? Fine. I'll touch it.
So there's three jars on there, plus like the wooden base to it. Would you like touch the jar in the middle or off to one, left or right first?
Can I just grab the jars and run?
I mean, you could, but the cat is still tethered to it.
Can I untether him from the jars?
Roll a deception check.
15.
You know, make it look like you're petting the cat some more. And yeah, you do manage to get it disconnected from the jars.
Now, since it's disconnected, can I take the jars and run?
Yep.
Goodbye!
Are we all just standing there while she's running?
The cat looks just as surprised as the rest of you. And then you hear this cat say, you motherfucker! And starts running after her.
I guess we better head in that direction, too.
Yeah. Wait for us, you motherfuckers.
I stole that first!
Finders, keepers, losers, weepers! I run faster.
The cat stops chasing you after a while. And what do you do with your new furniture?
You can decorate a camp with it.
I just wanted the jars to put slime in it and to study it.
When you do touch one of the jars, you see your head appear inside of it.
What the fuck?
Like her head's gone?
No, you still have your head on your body, but like your head appears in the jar. You do look a bit younger in that jar.
What the fuck? What the fuck is going on? Ah, what did I touch? What's happening?
That's why the answer, do you want to touch it, is always no.
Well, fuck it, I touched one, I might as well touch them all.
Oh no, hold on, let's figure this out.
All right, so you just like start slapping at the other two or whatever, however you touch all of them. And in the middle, your head also appears there, but it's a lot older. Like you've aged quite a bit in that jar. And then the last one, you look very old, but you also look distorted. Like you've been turned into like a hag or a witch, like some fey creature. You're no longer yourself, but other than, you know, some facial features.
What's going on?
Yeah, this is weird. Erevan, thoughts?
I'm not entirely sure what's going on here. Maybe they're like potions of some sort.
Do you have identify?
I do not.
Neither do I. Well, don't touch anything else for 10 minutes, please. And I start ritually casting Detect Magic.
How about don't touch things, period?
All right, Dad.
Would my insight help?
I think Arcana would be the most useful for this situation, if there's any skill to be applied at all. But I think Detect Magic will work just fine.
So a little concerning to you, Morin, as you have finished your casting of Detect Magic, is that the strongest magic you find from this thing is conjuration.
So conjuration magic.
Each jar has a creature inside of it. Like those heads are not just illusions. There's something in the jars now.
So is this now just like one giant Horcrux?
What's that?
It's a Harry Potter thing.
I guess I don't know it.
Is that like a piece of her soul is now in each jar?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right, now I get the reference. No, you don't think this is actually connected to Diamond, other than her appearance.
It's just trying to mimic my appearance?
I mean, yeah, it's a physical being. Like the head there is an actual head, and it looks like your head, the first jar anyway.
Hmm. Have I heard about anything like this before? Any similar type stuff?
You've definitely not heard of this thing before.
Well, I don't know what this is. It's pretty fucked. Just use, but not you. It wasn't there before. Now it is.
The cat wanted to give it to his new family. So how bad could it be?
Depends on how much the cat hates his family.
I don't know. I'm at a loss, guys. If I'm hearing this correctly, it's a wardrobe with jars on the top, right?
It's like a furniture stand, but it has like different perches on it, like little parts that come out, uh-huh. Like a tree. And on those three things at the top of them, they're crowned with jars. There are three heads floating in it now.
Well, can I like do a deep investigation on like looking for runes or looking for mechanisms or looking for anything that would give me more information about what the hell this thing is and why there's heads in jars? Arcana investigation, something.
Are you going to touch it or just like...
Hell no! Last time Diamond touched it, her head goes in a jar. I ain't touching shit.
No,
I'm just looking.
Touching.
I'm looking real close.
Okay, okay.
But now I'm going to be very cognizant of where my nose
we
is.
Right? No touch.
Like my nose, I'm going to get close, but I don't want my nose to touch it. I don't even want an eyelash to fall off my eye and then hit it. I don't want a stray hair to touch it.
So you get like a suit on or something that you'd wear into like a clean room?
If I have one of those, then yes, I'm wearing that.
You're going to put on a hazmat suit.
Maybe we should be wearing those anyways with the plague right next to us.
Is there a plague everywhere?
Out of character, my husband keeps saying that I should lick it.
I mean, touching it worked out for you pretty well so far.
Well, if my head's already in there, I might as well lick it.
Whoa. We're not trying to find out what's in the center of the Tootsie Pop. Like,
speak for yourself. I am.
Please don't do that. No, stop. I'm doing that whole Willy Wonka thing where he's like, don't eat the chocolate. Don't stop.
Chocolate.
Uh-oh.
Just out of curiosity, which one did you lick? Like the younger one, the older one, or like the fey?
Her name was Diamond Mosscloud. She will be missed.
The younger one.
Xeris is about to be like, you lose, you get nothing. Good day, sir.
I said good day.
Take her to the juicing room.
As you're licking the jar and stuff of the younger head, you see its eyes start to open, and now it's looking at you.
Does it say anything?
As your tongue is pressed up against the glass. No, it doesn't say anything. It just appears to be floating in some fluid, looking out at Diamond.
Now that it's looking at me, I guess I just like tap the glass. Like,
all right, when you tap the glass, you see it start. It looks like it's screaming. You see its mouth open and just you see like the fluid around it moving quickly, like it started a stream or something. And it stopped screaming after you're done tapping the glass.
Yeah, I'm done. When it started screaming, I just kind of covered my ears.
Just like a hag factory. How do you taste? Seems how you licked yourself in the jar there.
I lick my arm. I always taste delicious.
I don't really have any magic that's going to help us here for this. It's conjuration, so it's creating something. Do the heads look like they're bigger or smaller or more defined, or as we've been standing here, messing with it and casting spells on it?
Nothing seems to have changed about it in the past, 15 minutes.
Can I use Detect Plague and, like, see if it's, like, plague stuff?
No, you don't get the impression from it that it's a plague. When you cast that, I'm assuming that's a ritual spell. Your little disease Geiger counter doesn't go off when you cast it.
I have it up here. It says it detects poisons and disease. So there's no poison on it is what I'm asking.
Oh, the fluid that's in a jar is a poison.
Good thing you only licked the outside.
Yeah.
A one, a two, a three. Well, shall we just take this with us and continue? Or are we going to just stare at the thing all day?
It's at camp, right? We're at camp right now.
Yep.
And we can just leave it here and come back to it later and investigate it some more.
Okay, onward.
All right, on the third day of travel, who hasn't rolled yet? Is that Diamond? I don't think Alita's rolled yet. Go ahead and roll me a D100 Diamond for the third day of travel.
45.
Getting closer to Witchroot Woods, the strange abominations that you've encountered, they get a little more numerous. More of those flying things, your company of soldiers managed to fight them off. Of note for the day, the soldiers are setting up camp. A cyclops comes barreling out of one of the hills. It comes out of the ground. You can see the plague tar is all over it. It seems to be like ripping at its own, with its fingers at its own skin, trying to pull stuff off from it. It looks like there's worms in it, tar worms. Eventually, it just falls over and it seems to die. And that's the horror scene of the day.
You see, I thought that was going to be a combat scene, but it just died for us. Awesome. We didn't have to do anything. It
seems to have been like reanimated by something. You guys had an experiment going. Did you guys do it something different on the third day for your...
Aren't we cutting up the flowers and using the sword and the flowers together?
Okay, yeah. As you inspect that jar from your herbalism kit, you don't see much of a difference between the two, between that experiment and the second one of just like leaving the felon wart in it.
What about the sword? Has it changed in any way by having the flower on it?
I don't think he's tried the sword yet, right? Like, what do you mean? Like you wrap the sword in the flower petals?
Well, it would have the flower on it just from cutting it up, so.
Okay, yeah. You're not seeing an immediate difference, but I suppose that as you guys are looking at all this, the realization you would come to, or I don't want to say the moral of the story, but that's literally the only thing that's coming to mind. The conclusion is that the felon wart seems to be it works over a duration, and it seems to get stronger and stronger the longer the plague is exposed to it. Whereas the sword seems to be more immediate. Like as soon as it's used, it kills a decent amount, but then it's not going to just sit there and destroy more and more plague. It's not like an effect that lasts over time. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it would seem that the felon wart would have the healing properties, whereas the sword would be used in like fighting an abomination.
So we're keeping
it. Well, basically, we just need to make this into like something that the victims can consume.
Well, as you go to start doing that, like going through the camp and see if you can start that up, you kind of notice that most of the people in your company, most of the soldiers and the cavalry, they all smell of felon wart now. And you guys are actually a bit low on it.
Can I go look for more?
Yeah, you can. When you talk about looking for more and stuff, there's some guards that are saying, yeah, we can help you forage for some. So that's what their evening is at this point. Is like people are slowly coming back with extra felon wort because they're even feeding it to their horses now, trying to make sure that none of the worms that come out of the ground turn them into anything.
Yeah, horse worm would be terrifying.
Could we feed it to one of those worms and see what happens?
Sure. So as the worm, you almost have to like force feed it to the worm and put it into it. It only takes a couple hours for it to die. And some of the tar comes, it starts turning into that tar, but most of it's that inert tar.
But the worm still died.
Yeah, the worm seems to have been completely dead at this point. Sorry, Diamond?
On this knowledge, can I like start wrapping some stones in this flower petal? Because if we have to fight abominations at some time, like the flower petal will help, right? If I'm like using my slingshot to throw these things at them, or I'm just throwing them.
Sure, certainly. Yeah, you can start, you set aside some and start augmenting your weapons. Yeah, that's not a bad idea, no. It's not going to have like an immediate effect on any creatures you fight, you don't think, but it should at least limit how much, when the creatures are killed, how much of it's can spread. Anything else we're doing on this night?
Just monitoring this is the next time after we already stood time studying the faces, right?
Yeah, this is the night after that. Yep.
Yeah, so I'm going to just, from here on out, I'm just going to keep an eye on the table and see if anything changes. The creepy end table of diamond's heads.
Is it looking the same?
Oh, yeah, it does not look like it's changed. They're still sitting in there. The younger version of Diamond seems to have finally closed its eyes. And it looks peaceful, like it's resting in there.
Mm, I'm glad somebody can rest easy. That's it for me.
This is the fourth day. Alita, go ahead and roll me a 100-sided die.
77.
All right, so you guys are on the march, and there is another town nearby. This one's a little bigger than the other village. And again, there are soldiers and a couple cavalrymen that are going to go out and kind of forage from that town. See if there's anything there, any information, any people that need help. And once again, one of the cavalrymen rides up to you, Alita, and stops. And the horse kind of like, you can see that the horse is a little nervous, right? So it's like walking in a circle, and he's trying to talk to you from the back of the horse. And he says, you know, we're going to be moving. Check this town or this this village over here. Do you guys want to join us for that? We'd really appreciate it. You and your adventuring party.
What do you all say?
Let's go.
All right.
All right. So they form up and you guys join them. You get to the town and it's quite a bit different than last time that you guys went on one of these foraging missions. There's actually people here, but most of them look like they're actually guardsmen from Elkwood. And as soon as you guys come in here or come into the town, they say, yeah, Philip is going to want to talk to you. I know who you guys are. And the guard that was already at this town points at you, Mord. He says, you're Mord. Victor Philip is going to want to speak with you.
Do I know Victor?
Vicar. Vaguely, but when you look to Diamond would actually know who that is.
Who's this guy? He wants to talk to me?
We weren't really that close.
Okay, I guess I'll go talk to him.
Sure.
All right, you guys are led to a large building in the middle of the town. It looks like it was like a courthouse or something that was set up for this region. And you see a cleric walk out who's dressed in what were really nice robes, but you see he's been out and on the march for a while. He's wearing Elkwood garb, or not garb, but he's marked with Elkwood banners and stuff. And as soon as he sees you and Diamond, he rushes over and says, oh, hello. What brings you out here? What brings you this way?
Nod my head towards Diamond.
The plague!
Oh, yes, of course. I just was taken to the belief that you were otherwise occupied.
We cleared up our calendar, kind of.
Oh, I see. So, yeah, the only thing I have to say is we're still waiting to hear back from Sir Terrence. Sorry, Henda. the paladin that was assigned to look at the region here.
That's, oh, okay. I get it now. This is Terrence Phillips.
Ah, buddy. Nice to see you.
So sorry. What do you mean?
Huh?
So sorry. What do you mean, Morin? I'm doing a Canadian thing, like apologizing.
I'm not your buddy, friend. Anyway, so do you have a ready room or a place that you're briefing us on the battle for the plague or what you've learned so far? Any information you can pass along as we try to acclimate ourselves here and help where we can?
He says, well, I just came from speaking to a few of the locals. Yeah, follow me. And he leads you inside the courthouse. Takes you to one of the rooms in there, like a conference room or something. Like, while this isn't like a huge town or anything, it was kind of like the center for the region, and most of the official business was done here. And he says, out of character, Diamond, this is the person that sent you the letter telling you about how terrible it is and begging for help immediately. That's that letter you got while you're sitting in the palace and started to cry.
I'm going to start taking notes.
I don't think I was fully clear on that part, like who it was. I think I said it was the cleric that sent you the letter. But the thing that's striking to you would be that he does not seem to be as urgent as that. Doesn't seem to be emitting to you guys or conveying to you guys like that sense of urgency as he's sitting there talking to you about the different things that are going on, the different parties that are out. Right now he's just listing off the different or what... Terrence was up to. Like he actually went into the forest and he's now detailing to you guys where he believes he was headed. And he starts talking about different fae creatures they've come across.
So letters described this as something that urgently needed attention. So like why is everything so nonchalant now?
And he says, What letters are you speaking about? Because I haven't sent anything back to Elkwood that was addressed for you.
I would still have these letters, right?
Yeah.
I would show him the letters then.
I don't know who wrote this, but it was not me.
The plot thickens.
So you didn't write these letters.
What tree? He says as he's like reading the letter. He's like, oh, no, I'm... Most of the stuff I haven't even heard of.
So out of character, is this where Diamond's from? Like this area we're in now, finally?
Yeah, the forest is where she's grown up, yeah.
And this tree, because I don't know the backstory, this tree is like something you grew up with, right?
Yeah.
So like you would know where it is, right?
Yeah.
Back in character, well, maybe we should go to the tree.
All right, I'll take you guys.
Because I imagine that you would tell us why we're going here, the significance of the stuff, right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Erevan?
I don't know.
You want to go touch a tree? We'll let you lick it first.
I thought we established the rule of no touching.
Well,
okay. The tree's safe.
Lita, you good?
Let's go.
All right. Let's go lick a tree.
I wasn't adding that part.
Head towards the forest then with Diamond at the lead?
Yeah, I'm leading them to the tree.
Like there was nothing in the reports that made us think like, hey, we need to like take care of this stuff here. Like there's plague approaching here. We need to go see if we can stop it. Like we have a second to go look at this thing, right? Without their mission imploding.
It'll be fine. You guys go ahead and go in the forest.
Okay.
Diamond, go ahead and roll for me a survival check at advantage.
24.
You have no problems as you get into the forest. You're not getting lost. And for the most part, you're avoiding any dangers that you recall in the forest. The animals in this area seem to be a little quieter than you would expect. As you walk through, it almost sounds like things are becoming more and more quiet, and there's leaving, just like a kind of a nervous feeling, I would suppose, as the only thing you guys can really hear is your footsteps and you guys talking to each other as you walk.
This forest is eerily quiet.
I know. I look up and look for, like, animals and birds. All right,
Diamond, as you look up and are looking for animals and birds, you do see a few baboons that are standing in a tree, sitting on the branch, just kind of looking down at you. You have not seen them before.
Hey, guys. You've been hanging out in the forest long? When did you guys start hanging out around here? Like, when did this become the place to hang out?
You see that their eyes get a little big, and then they point down behind you with their fingers.
I look at where they're pointing.
They were pointing at where your friends were, your adventuring party was. They are not there anymore.
Dun, dun, dun.
What the fuck?
Where did we go?
What the fuck? You're like all like really nice, like friendly and stuff. Oh, hello, how are you? I haven't seen you. What the fuck?
Well, because I thought my party was behind me and like they pointed and now they're gone and I'm just like, oh, what the fuck?
We went for Starbucks. We'll be right back.
I asked the baboons, did you see where my friends went?
Do you see them get a little nervous and kind of like start to scurry away? Alita, you find yourself in a small clearing, like a tiny patch of wheat that's surrounded by trees. You see a tiny hut in front of you, like a halfling hut, right? From Lord of the Rings. It's smaller than that even. You see a stone sitting on the ground, and on that stone is perched a gnome with a red pointy hat on. This is not like a morad, like a lawn gnome. It looks like a garden gnome that's just sitting there looking at you with its red top on.
Good deals, a Travelocity. Come check it out.
Hello.
Welcome to this place, he says as he like extends his arms out.
What is this place?
This is my home. There are three trees. And he points behind you.
Okay, so I look behind me at the three trees.
Well, you actually see four trees.
Oh, I see four trees.
There are three trees plus one. There are four trees. If you want to return to your life, you'll need to go through one of them. Luckily for you, I have a four-sided die for you. And he holds out like a pyramid for you to take from his hand. It has four digits written onto it. Like, it's a D4, right?
Okay.
He says, roll it to decide which path you will take. And he points again to the trees. And on each of the trees, you see a glow happen on it. Like an image forming on it. The first one looks like a goldfish. Like you see a little bit of light coming out of it. Like it looks like writing, but it's just an image of a goldfish.
Here's where the water comes into play.
Splish, splash. The second tree has a fox on it. The third tree has, well, like I don't know if your character would be familiar with the creature, but it's a kangaroo. And the fourth tree, you see what looks like a cockroach on it. If you roll the dice, you'll have to go through that tree. Can you what?
Can I use my insight here? Help tell me what's going on with the gnome? Or do I just need to listen to more?
I don't know how much of a frame of reference you would have, because this is like an otherworldly creature to you, right?
Okay.
So I guess you could roll at like a disadvantage if you want to get, like pick up some kind of signal from him.
Okay, how do I do that?
Roll a d20 and roll it twice, and then take the lesser roll because it's at a disadvantage, and then take that.
Oh my gosh. One was an 8, the other was a 4. Okay, do I get to add to that though?
Yeah, you add your insight skill to it.
Okay, so I guess I end up with 8.
Not only can you not tell shit, you're pretty sure you can't tell anything about this creature. It's, so there's that. That you know you don't know.
Okay. Why am I here?
You're looking for a tree, right?
Yes. Diamond was taking me to a tree.
And I've took you to four trees.
So one of these trees is the tree we were looking for?
It's a tree that I want you to look for.
Why?
You have a lot of questions. You should just roll the dice and find out what happens.
What does happen?
Do you roll the dice?
Well...
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you asking him?
What happens for each dice roll?
Well, it's not necessary to roll the dice. You could just pick a tree and walk through it.
Are there doors in the trees?
Not that you can see. If you ask him, he says no.
So one of them takes me back to my world. Where do the others go?
If she dies, she dies.
Am I about to die? So it's just certain death?
Nothing is certain.
Is there another option?
No. Okay, this is your options.
I guess I'm rolling the dice.
Tree two. Okay. All right. Yeah, roll a d4 then.
Well, I got a 4.
All right. Well, that matches goldfish. So the other trees dim, and the only one that's glowing now is the goldfish one, to which he says, I wish you the best of luck in your new life.
Okay, sounds like a good farewell. So I walk to the tree. Do I walk through it? Does it just open up? Or
you see the tree start to glow a bit. As you get to towards it, the goldfish becomes very bright. And you look back at the gnome that's sitting on the stone, and he puts his hands out as if to say, touch it.
I touch the tree.
Yeah, okay. And then as you touch the tree, you hear the creature behind you say, I have the power. And then that's like the last thing you hear before everything flashes white for you. And the next thing you see is a goldfish in front of you, like a large one.
How large?
It looks pretty large, but you start realizing that's your mother.
My mother's a goldfish?
Yeah, and you are too, as you start swimming around.
Okay.
All right. Roll a d20 for me, please.
18.
Your juvenile years they go very well. You and your mother swimming around. There's no predators that get you. You're getting older and older, slowly getting to a young adulthood as a goldfish, being able to go and swim off on your own. Morid, you find yourself in a clearing, wheat, and you see what you would think is like a cousin species to yours, an earlier version of gnomes, I guess. One of those just sitting on a stone, staring at you.
You're setting back our race by a lot. Get with the times,
work
bro.
Progress.
Not much progress.
You're gonna roll the die?
Do I just look in my hand and there's a die
in
it?
Yeah.
Neat trick. 4.
Well, someone's already passed through the goldfish door. Are you sure you want to go do that?
You're saying I can roll till I get the number I want? What's the symbol?
Truthfully, you can go through any door you want.
So why the die? I guess I'll take
some
one.
People find it very hard to choose which door to go through. So figure give them a die and they can do it at random.
All right. Well, I roll a 1. Well,
that's the termite door.
That's a terrible
choice. I thought you said it was a cockroach.
I said it looks like a cockroach.
Oh, but it's a termite.
Yeah.
Well, the die has spoken.
Right, so you go to the tree with the cockroach looking thing on it. The termite, which I kind of, you know, it was a big surprise. It was supposed to be anyway. Do you touch the tree? All right.
Yeah.
A big light starts glowing. Of course, you hear the gnome say its catchphrase in the back. It's just like, if he dies, he dies. And you're off.
Wait, what?
Oh, you weren't here for that? Oh, yeah, you did say you'd be right back. You need a jacket.
Well, I wouldn't have known anyway.
That's true.
We're all separate, right? We're not together.
You're not
right?
together, but you do have some recollection of her time in this little grassy area. Little flashes here and there. So you kind of know what's happened, but you wouldn't perfectly recall it, right? And the flash happens for you as well. And you're in a dark place, and you're a little baby insect, little termite, beginning its new life of wood eating.
You know what'd be good right now? Some wood.
Nom, nom, nom.
All right, roll for me a detail. What'd you say?
Bubble, bubble.
Bubble, bubble. Yes, you're like a goldfish, okay.
If only I had like a nightstand with like 3 jars on it to eat.
Alright, roll for me a d20, Morid. 17?
17,
alright,
yep.
So yeah, you start your new life as kind of a cockroach, evolved into a termite, which is very similar to what you were just talking about, because, you know, as you're starting off your youth, eating different types of woods and stuff, you do kind of recall that gnome and how it was kind of like a cockroach to Morid's termite, right? Because it evolved, you know.
I got you. Yeah. Where I was,
yeah, so,
where I am.
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to decide if I would like ash or cedar better. Maybe some poplar because it's a soft wood.
Yeah. You have friends, you know, you've made good friends with other termites and stuff. You guys have your own little pack. Going around
Jeff?
The front. Yeah, basically, yeah, there's a Jeff and everything. Termites are very social. And, your youth starts off pretty good. Nothing kills you. Nothing finds you. All the wood is delicious. You haven't found any poisonous.
George already has some larva. I'm telling you, man.
Like Teen, what was that show? Like
the Teen Mom.
Teen Mom or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going on for you. Erevan, you can actually perfectly recall at this point Alita and Morid's experience here as you're standing in this clearing and you're face-to-face with this gnome and says to you, you're going to roll the die or you're going to pick a tree?
I pick that one and I just point to a random tree.
All right. Well, you pointed at the fox tree.
Sounds fun.
All right. So you touch the fox tree, white light happens, and you start off your new life as a fox.
On the D20, I got a 20.
What does the fox say? Yeah, well, you've learned what the fox says pretty early on. You have your own leash, which is like
fox says 20. Yeah,
as a junior, you get to run around, do some hunting, you have great eyesight, and your junior life is pretty good. So as you spend, all three of you are spending your times growing up as the different animals or creatures you are, Diamond, you still can't see them anywhere. Like, they're just gone to you in the forest, and the baboons have abandoned you.
I retrace my steps looking for them worriedly. Where'd they go? Somebody help me, please.
Yeah, there's nothing seems to respond to you. Not at first, anyway. And then eventually you hear some tingling sounds, like bells or something from behind you. And should you turn and look? All right, yeah, you see some like sparkles going on, little flowers appearing and disappearing, little hearts, and rolling out of thin air and spinning around a bit and coming to like a pose or something is a fairy that just says, Raby!
Raby, oh my god, thank goodness you're here. I need help.
Can't stay long.
But all my friends are gone and I don't know where they went and they're lost in the woods and
it's fine.
What do you mean it's fine?
They have other things to do.
I start crying.
No. Here's some bacon. I brought you some bacon.
Bacon's not gonna fix this, Raby.
Okay. And then she like throws the bacon away. She's like, yeah, I didn't like this either. It was kind of gross. This is from the palace. This is days old. I'll go look for your friends. And you should probably not stay here.
Meet me at the tree.
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere near the tree.
Why?
I don't want to be there because it's bad.
Why is it bad?
Well, I don't know. I'm just telling you what I've heard.
Well, what did you hear about why it's bad?
That's where all this plague is coming from.
What? I just run towards the tree crying.
I'll look for your friends. Bye.
Thanks.
All right. So, you run for a good 30 minutes, maybe less. Let's say 25 minutes or something. Full speed all the way through the forest, throwing your different flowers about to different fairies that may or may not be there because you're booking it to that tree for tolls and stuff, right? And you're typing something.
Yeah, I'm just booking it there, going as fast as I can.
Okay. And as you start getting closer and closer to the tree, you do, not closer and closer, as you start to actually approach the clearing with the tree in it and start slowing down, you can see like the purple leaves and stuff from this tree, right? And you kind of see that like everything has stopped here, like nothing's moving. You do see that the ground is covered in that tar, and that actually looks to be the only thing that has any motion to it. But there is no wind, there's no sound here at all. And when you do look in the direction of the tree, you can see, you would remember Alvinia, the woman from Baendur, the elven woman from Baendur that was also in your dream. You can see her standing perfectly still in front of the tree, with both of her hands out motioning to it as though she was in the middle of casting a spell. And on her face, you can see it looks very angry. She looks a bit younger than you remember. There's like a snarl in her face. She does not seem to be moving at all. But from like the corners of her eyes, you can see that there's that tar coming from it. And from the edges of her mouth, seems to be some of that plague that seems to be dropping down onto the forest ground and spreading out into this poison.
Can I slingshot one of those flower rocks into her face hole that's open?
Wow. Yeah. Go ahead and roll that. The face hole that's open. That's great. You mean her mouth, right?
Yeah, 14.
Yeah, okay.
Nostril.
Could have been her nose.
Except the nose
It's not a face hole that's open. It's face holes that's open.
I'm sorry, did you roll something already?
Oh, I thought you heard me. 14.
14. Yeah, that does hit her. You get her in the face. You don't get it into her mouth, but yeah, after a try or two, you'd be able to. It doesn't seem to have changed anything about what's going on, though.
Shit. What else can I do?
Mord, go ahead and roll me another
d20. Tom, out of the maple today. Lucky 14.
What'd you have last time? A 17? Something 17, like that. Yeah. It was over 15, right? Okay.
Yep.
All right. So it's been for you 20 years now as a termite. You're starting to understand all kinds of things about wood, like the most delicious ones to get, how to find them. You've even advanced on to going into people's homes and eating their furniture now, like the refined woods and stuff.
The good stuff.
Yeah. Destroying, you know, destroying people's couches and whatnot, and their beds. It's great fun for you. You're starting to feel quite invincible as this termite, and you're getting on in life. You find yourself a mate, and you start laying eggs.
And pass on all my knowledge.
So it'll be pretty easy for you because, like, you enclose your eggs and stuff into, like, near your head and stuff. So, yeah, you carry them around and tell them stories and whatnot. Head banging and stuff like that that warn people of danger.
Yeah, you're going to be the termite who ate the world.
Alina, go ahead and roll me a d20 again.
4.
That's really not good.
Uh-oh.
All right, so one day you're just swimming along, and all of a sudden it gets really cold. It gets really cold, and you realize you're being lifted and lifted, and you see what you do recognize, because you do have some memory of your past life. You see a person looking at you. Looks like a kid who is super happy to have caught you. And you're just splashing around inside of like a little carry box as they run home with you.
Oof.
And bubble, you're now looking outside of a fish tank all by yourself. Now, that's kind of bad, but I mean, at least you're still moving on as a fish, right? But you notice that this person has a cat, and the cat seems to be looking at you with its head tilted for a bit, and then it walks up to... You see it, like, jump down from a chair and then jump up onto the desk that you're on. And it just kind of, like, looks and stares right into the fishbowl right at you.
Is there a place for me to hide in the fishbowl?
No. He hasn't put anything in here for you yet. You rolled a 4. And at some point, you kind of hear it speaking, the cat, like a sound coming from it as it hits the bowl. And it kind of reverberates through the water to you, and you're pretty sure it's speaking common, this cat is, and it's like, and it says, hey, wait a minute, aren't you one of those that stole my furniture?
Oh.
And then you see it smile and goes, here.
wait a minute now, that was Diamond, it wasn't me.
Yeah, all that's coming out of you is blurp, 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 little bubbles. Erevan, go ahead and roll me a d20.
18.
Yeah, so for you, kind of like with, Mord, that's a social creature, the foxes are, and you have your own pack now. You still hang out with not who you believe are your parents, but who your parents are. You formed your own pack, and you eventually break off, and you start, your life as a fox continues on. You're hunting, start having kids. It's great fun.
Okay, but what do I say as a fox?
Okay. How's it say it? How do they say it? Like yeet 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 or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I thought it was like ning. It.
I think what bing, I'm bing, supposed bing. To say. Yeah.
Yeet, bing, 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 bing.
Something like that. I couldn't remember what it was exactly. Come on.
Shall we play the song?
I know that's okay.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'll look it up later. I promise. Okay. I will look it up because I actually like that song.
Yip, 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 yow. Yip, 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 yow.
Until that part, anyway. That part's funny. But, like, all the way up until that part, I'm like, these guys are actually really good singers.
That makes sense why you like Limsa so much. Because they're all dressed like foxes in that video. They're all furries.
Actually, go ahead and roll me another d20 more. Let's get you through your life as a termite. This is the last roll here through your elder years. 17 is not bad.
Yeah. Did I give birth to the larva that will eat the world?
Yeah, you have like 60,000 kids.
That's right. Eat that.
Actually, I made that up. I can't remember how many kids termites can have.
I don't even have any. We're close. You could tell me whatever you want. They have two. I don't know.
All I know is they eat their own feces.
Well, I'm a termite, so it's accepted. Don't judge
nobody
me.
Does. Nobody pays you much mind. You've eaten several pieces of furniture through your life. The people couldn't find you, couldn't exterminate you. They didn't have the Orun man or whatever. Orkin. Yeah. This is medieval times before the Orkin man was around.
That's right. I eat your furniture and I don't feel bad about it.
As Diamond, you're throwing rocks at a face hole. You hear a thump behind you. And when you turn, you see Morad laying on the ground, chewing something. Looks like a piece of wood.
I grab the wood and throw it at her.
Hey, that's fine. Why am I eating wood?
You remember everything as your life as a termite, Morad? Like all 50 years? You remember all your kids? You remember it all, right?
Oh, so I shed a tear for my 60,000 young. Like, was that real? I look at Diamond. Was that real?
Was what real? The real right now is this problem.
No, but I lived a whole life as a termite. I had kids, Diamond.
That's great. 60,000. Can you help me with the problem we're facing now, please?
Well, I look over to what I see.
Yeah, you see her perfectly still, except for the tar pouring from her.
Oh, she's causing this? Okay, well, do I have an action or am I just...
I mean, there's like a small little pool of tar between you and her. That's why Diamond's here throwing rocks at her face.
Okay, well, I will blast with my cannon and I will start cutting away the tar with my rapier, if that's what I have available.
Right, yeah, the cannonball, as it starts getting close to her, just starts disappearing.
Oh, well, that's some bullshit.
Like starts fading. And as for the pool that you start cutting at, it does seem to make a difference, but there's a lot that's coming out of her that seems to replace it. Like, this is pulled up. There's a lot of tar here. On your character sheet, or in a notebook or something, you can write this down. Wood cutting as a feature on your character.
Wood cutting, huh?
Yeah. Right. Whenever you make an intelligence history check related to the origin of woodwork, you are considered proficient and add double your proficiency bonus, like it's expertise.
Nice.
Alita, roll your d20. This is, you can go ahead and add your dexterity to it as well. Your dexterity saving throw.
Okay, 13.
All right. Through most of the next year of your life, you're having to dodge paws that are reaching down into the bowl, trying to collect you from it. You barely manage to escape being caught by the cat, but it's a daily event for you. Go ahead and roll me one more d20. To determine the next section of life.
15.
Okay, you made it. All right, eventually, the cat just leaves you alone, and you live out your life watching this kid grow up that has caught you, and I think it's like 10 years or something like that, and a goldfish would live. And that's the rest of your life, I guess. It's just bubble, bubble, bubble in a fishbowl. And you two pop into existence next to Morad and Diamond in the forest, with a full memory of your time as a goldfish and being chased by a cat. And for you, you actually get... This is terrible. You gain swimming movement equal to your normal movement.
Damn,
where
that's
does
good.
That go?
That would be like a racial feature you would add. So now, not only can you fly, but you can swim.
Your race is now ex-goldfish.
Deuce ex-goldfish. I put mine, if you're using Beyond, I put mine in notes. I don't know if I remember I have it.
Erevan, roll me a d20.
Erevan gets to yeet everything everywhere.
It seems to go down by two each time. 16.
Right. You actually get a small bonus for having rolled high previously. So you two get to live out your life as a fox hunting. You have your own little skulk or earth or whatever. You have several foxes, several kids, right? And when you pass, you two show up next to Alita, Morad, and Diamond in the forest near a purple-colored leaves tree. Like a tree with purple leaves. I don't know why I said it the other way. I was like committed to it for some reason. For you, you gained the stealth skill. So you are now proficient in stealth.
Awesome. I do have some points in dexterity, so that is pretty useful.
So yeah, you are all at the same scene as Diamond now, looking at Alvinia snaring at a tree that Diamond seems to really like. Looks like she's in the middle of a spell cast, but she's frozen in time.
So if we decided that she was the cause of this plague?
Well, it wouldn't make sense to Diamond or to anybody that she's the cause of the plague directly because of this scene that you're in front of, because this plague was going on before this. But she seems to have brought the plague to her tree, or at least is in the middle of attempting to.
So the tree doesn't have the plague right now?
No, it looks like it was about to. Like, as you're studying the different tar patterns on the ground and stuff, the tree seems to have some kind of a barrier around its roots that's keeping it away. So the tree itself doesn't seem to be infected yet.
Do we have some more of those felon blossoms that we could create more of a barrier with?
Can we make a flower petal bridge?
With some care, you guys are able to put down like a little barrier, start pushing some of the tar out of the way with it, making enough of it inert to walk over to the tree, if that was still your goal.
She's like standing right in front of the tree, right?
And she's about, you know, like six or seven feet from the tree.
Is there any way that I can safely like shake her to see if like she'll wake up or something?
As you approach her, you start to feel like your arms and your face tingle. And if you look at your hands or something, because they start to become numb, you can see that they're slowly starting to vanish.
What the fuck happened to my hands?
Don't worry, you'll become a termite and you'll live a wonderful life.
Watch out for the cat.
I guess I could like shake her with my nubs. I don't have hands.
So yeah, you take a... you're almost like leaping at her then, right? You're trying to get to her and shake her?
Like pushing her more, I guess, now that I don't have hands. Like kind of like nubbing her with my nubby nubs. Unless I don't have arms, then I guess I'm like shoulder checking her.
You don't have shoulders?
If I don't have shoulders, I guess I'm headbutting. I don't know, man.
Good thing we have three more of you in that nightstand.
All right, yeah. As you get closer and closer to her, like reality around you changes. You find yourself in a garden.
And you're a tomato bug.
You're a tomato bug. You're a fruit fly.
What am I doing here with all these flowers? Where's my tree? Where did I go?
As you're in a garden and you look up, you see a palace nearby, like palace walls. Not the palace in Elkwood. This looks far more elaborate. You see like markings on the ground as well. Like little runes that are glowing. You see some smoke rising up near your feet as though you were, like, whatever magic has brought you here was very, I don't want to say powerful, but it was like last, there was a lot of effort to bring you here. You look around and you see that the tree is actually still near you. Elvinia is not, but at this point, the tree seems to be surrounded by this garden. And it's sitting in sight of a palace.
I go to the tree because I would be more comfortable with my tree.
As you approach the tree, you hear in your mind, which you are not, you are accustomed to it, right? To this tree. And you can hear the tree speaking in your mind. It says, hello, child.
What's going on?
It doesn't have a response for you. It just, you kind of feel as you're getting closer to the tree that as though... This is the first time you've met the tree. I'm sorry. As though the tree feels it's the first time it's met you.
Don't you remember me?
As with before, you hear a thud behind you, and then another thud, and then another thud. And when, if you turn to look...
I jump and turn around.
As you turn around, you see Morin, Alita, and Erevan. Also with runes on the ground smoking that slowly fade away.
Wait, the runes fade away or everyone else?
The runes fade away. Erevan, you actually, and Mora to some degree, I would imagine, you actually catch the runes that are on the ground and you realize that this is like a teleportation spell that's been cast on you, but it's channeled you through. You can kind of tell by the modifications to the runes that you've been ported back in time. You would suspect, looking at this tree, that it's definitely younger than the tree she originally brought you to, but it's definitely the same tree.
Great, Scott.
I suppose I share this information with everyone else.
And you're in your head, Diamond, and this is probably where we're gonna cut the session, but in your head you hear the tree speak to you and say, it says, "Welcome to Castle Elvinia."
Elvinia? Uh-oh. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun.
So this is the castle that Hag told us about, Joe.
And this is the lady that's dumping plague everywhere, this castle. Yeah.
And through Alita, actually. So you're from a monastery, right? Because you're a monk. Is that right? For the Order of the Hand?
Maybe.
Actually, I don't. Mord, what are Order of the Hand monks? Like, how do they train?
I would imagine they would train in a monastery because it's like called martial training.
Yeah.
I'm looking up. I mean, I guess they could train anywhere, really. But it's like they're like a martial arts character. They might even travel to different places and learn techniques and stuff.
I mean, it is called monastic tradition, so I would think a monastery would make sense.
Alita would actually have some familiarity with this area. Like, this garden is set up in a very similar manner to several monasteries that you've seen or visited in your travels.
Okay.
You know that there's actually a competition spot nearby in this garden. If it's set up in any way similar to other monasteries you've been in. And as you sit there and kind of listen to the area, because this has definitely caught your attention, like the setup of this garden, you would expect to see people walking around, like hooded figures walking around, some people meditating, things like that in this garden.
Do I see that?
You don't see any of that at the moment, but as you listen really hard, you can hear music in the distance, and the music kind of sounds like competitive music, like a competition music. So if everyone's missing from this area and you hear that music, there must be some kind of like a small competition going on, or at least a small competition. So the point is this is a active, and there are people, or at least some kind of beings nearby in this garden with you guys.
Okay, should we go see what this competition is that's going on?
Yeah.